Shields up! Red alert! Spoilers decloaking off the starboard bow. That was a warning.
I am an anomaly.
Anomaly.
I am an anomaly.
A.
Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity, peculiarity, irregularity, inconsistency, incongruity, a rarity.
Hello and welcome to the Anomaly Podcast. I'm Jen, and I won a state martial arts competition as a wild card when I was in college. I wonder if that would qualify me as Slayer material. And I am an anomaly.
My name is Angela, and it's a magic gourd, and I am an anomaly. I tried to keep it simple. Hi.
Hello.
Yeah, welcome to the Anomaly Podcast, everyone.
What are we doing?
Just joining us.
Yes.
Just kidding. I want to do like a mock news segment at some point. I think that would be fun.
You would be good at that.
I have a character worked out for it. I'll tell you about it later.
Okay.
Anyway, so we're talking about Buffy today. We haven't done Buffy in a while, like a long while.
A long time. What was the last one? The Buffy sing-along?
No, we did the sing-along first and then we did Hush and
I thought we did Hush first.
Did we?
Yeah. Hush and then the sing-along.
Oh, maybe you're right. Meh. I looked them up today, but I guess I thought that you had them in reverse order. I didn't know you had them in real order.
Yeah.
So anyway, I didn't look at the dates, but I know it's been a while.
Yes.
And we love Joss so much. I don't know why we don't do more Buffy and
we should
Firefly and all of that, but we don't. So here we are. It's Buffy week because last week was Sarah Michelle Gellar's birthday, so we probably should have done it last week, but we're doing it this week instead. It was Anomaly Supplemental's turn last time. I keep forgetting this, that you didn't actually watch this whole season, right?
I didn't watch the whole series, no, because when I was in college, Buffy was on, and I watched all of the first season, and I was totally into it, and then I was broke and I lost my cable. Similar to you, you had your situation where we just watched the same movies over and over because you didn't have cable. Yeah, kind of the same thing.
Well, I didn't start watching Buffy until after it had been on for a few years. Mm-hmm. And then I caught up like on reruns. You know, they would do like those either morning or afternoon.
Yeah.
Reruns, and I would record them and just like watch, you know, from beginning to end as much as possible. And I got caught up. And yeah, so it was sort of like the binge watch, you know, before Netflix, I guess.
Right.
And that's how I got caught up. And then by the time, I guess, season six and season seven, I watched as it went. But before that, I hadn't seen it. So it was a little bit different in my case, but I did end up watching the whole thing. And I have it all on DVD still, which I don't need to watch right now because of Netflix. But at least I have it, you know, if I ever have to get rid of...
You never know. Netflix sometimes takes things down.
That's true, too.
I was worried at first that I wasn't going to be able to review this.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Go ahead.
I was worried that I wasn't going to be able to review it because I wasn't sure Netflix still had Buffy. Because sometimes they take series down, you know.
Okay. Do you have Amazon Prime?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
I can only afford one supplier, you know.
But Amazon Prime is awesome because of the free 2-day delivery as well. And it's cheaper. I'm just saying, Amazon Prime is awesome.
Yeah, and Amazon Prime doesn't have everything, though.
You know? No, it doesn't. But it has some stuff that Netflix doesn't. And the other cool thing about Amazon Prime is that if there's something that you really want to watch and it's not included, at least you can buy it. I mean, it's not like, obviously that's not what you want to do, but at least there's an option. Sometimes on Netflix, when you search for something, it just doesn't even come up. Because sometimes if I really want to watch something, like maybe I accidentally came across like part one of something in the middle of the day on a Sunday, and then part two, who knows when it's going to come on. And so you go on Amazon, you can find it. It's $2 and you get to watch the end.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes that's important.
I do that sometimes on iTunes. You can get a season pass to an episode, like a television show that's currently running, and then you own it afterwards. So,
well, that's true. But you can buy stuff on Prime as well. Because I owned all of the universes.
Right.
On Prime. So, you know, I mean, it's not like everything, but it is another option. Like Stargate, all of the Stargates were on Netflix, but they aren't anymore, but they are all on Prime. So, well, and I think Doctor Who got switched to Prime. So that's not you, but anyway, my Prime commercial is now over. I wish Amazon would send me some money. Anyway, so we watched Buffy. The episode is called Primeval. Did you want to go ahead and introduce it, or do you want me to?
Yeah, you go ahead. This is kind of
okay. It originally aired May 16th, 2000. It is the second to last episode of season 4, which basically acts as a last episode, pretty much like all of the other last episodes would be, except for there is kind of a denouement episode they do right after this called Restless, and it's also very cool. Let's see, season 4. Oh, you're going to have to edit a lot of ums out of this, but I will try my best. Season 4 is interesting because it's the college. It's when college happens. And as everybody knows, Buffy is, you know, kind of an allegory for teenage life. You have your first 3 years of high school being a teenage girl wrestling with all of these life or death situations, quote unquote, in which she really is in life or death, end of the world situations. And all the things that happen to you in high school are extra because of all of the demons and stuff. Well, then they graduate and it's very exciting and they go to college, which also happens to be in the same town. Isn't that convenient? But anyway, suspend your disbelief on that one because, I mean, Buffy needs to stay by the Hellmouth and all of her friends decide to stay with her. So season 4 goes back and forth. I've heard mixed reviews from people because season 2, especially season 2 and season 3 were so well crafted that season 4, I think, sometimes gets a little bit of a bad rap. I don't know. Because of the transitional, I think it's like that on purpose because your freshman year of college is transitional and weird and you drift apart from your friends that you had in high school and things happen that you get, you know, new boyfriends and new friends and new teachers and all that stuff. And I think that it really captures that. And also it has some of the best episodes. I mean, it has Hush, which is probably a top 5 Buffy episode.
We covered that one.
Yeah, so yes, we did. We did. And that's the one with the gentleman. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it just is I think it's a really cool season. And also the big bad who is called Adam. Mm-hmm. That they fought in this episode has been kind of criticized too as just not as badass as the mayor was in season 3 or the whole Angel situation in season 2. Oh, do we need to say like super spoilers?
Super spoiler alerts.
And sorry, let me back up. So the whole season is about this initiative. And the initiative is basically like a government-run organization, a military organization that is capturing and experimenting on demons, which is kind of Buffy's department.
Yeah.
But the government thinks that they can, you know, do something about it. And she inadvertently ends up dating one of the army guys. And in Hush is when they find out about each other, which is very cute. And Riley, I think I'm team Riley, to be honest, as far as Buffy's boyfriends are concerned. I know that takes a really weird turn in season 5, which I won't talk about here, but I liked Riley. I think he was good for her. And so this all happens, but of course, at the same time, there was this like side, as the government does, they had this side experiment going where they weren't just trying to trap the demons and experiment on them for knowledge. They actually were building hybrid human demons. Like soldiers, basically. Mm-hmm. And they started with this guy, Adam. That's not his real name, but that's what they called him because I'm assuming it's an Adam and Eve reference as a first thing. He's human / cyborg / demon. So that's exciting. And of course, that goes horribly awry. And Buffy's the only one that can save them. Some other like side things that have been going on, which I feel like I have to kind of explain it a little bit, and you can edit this however you want, so I'm sorry if I'm going on, is that Spike turns up, and I usually post about this episode during Thanksgiving at the very beginning of the season. Spike turns up back in Sunnydale to, you know, kill Buffy, but he gets taken in to the initiative, and they put a chip in his head that basically neuters him from killing. He can't kill humans. He can't touch humans, so he can't, you know, he's pretty much can't be evil anymore. He's neutered, and they make a lot of hilarious jokes to that effect. Mm-hmm. But then a little bit before, I think it's just like an episode before this, he realizes that he can fight other demons. So because he kind of wants to fight, he ends up kind of playing both sides of good guys, bad guys. In this particular situation, he had just the Yoko Factor. I don't know if you looked this up, but this episode right before this is called the Yoko Factor, which I think is hilarious. It's a reference to the Beatles being broken up by Yoko mm-hmm. Ono, that everybody says that. And he goes in and basically like sows the seeds of discontent in the four friends so that Buffy's by herself, because Adam asks him to do that and tells him that he's going to take the chip out of his head. And so that's kind of where we start this episode. Is kind of everything coming together. All of the friends have been torn apart by Spike. And then there is a little kink in the works, because Spike has given Willow all of the information that she's supposed to give Buffy. But now Willow and Buffy aren't talking because Spike told them. Spike got them mad at each other. So Adam's like, well, you have to get her in there. And everything ensues. And then they figure out the plot. So... So that's kind of what's happening. That's the long and the short of it, I guess. And also, this would have been run concurrently with the first season of Angel this season. And so there are a couple of little crossover.
Gotcha. So Cordelia's not on this, in the series
Cordelia
anymore.
Cordelia's not in this, but Buffy does go to Los Angeles and does an episode. And then there's a Faith episode where Faith and Buffy switch bodies. Mm-hmm. And it is a very... awesome episode of Buffy and of Angel. It's like a cool, but that's at the beginning of the season before all of this kind of comes to a head. So I just wanted to focus on this as much as possible.
Right.
And the other thing that was funny when we were watching it is I played the game Chaos Bleeds. It's Buffy Chaos Bleeds. It was a GameCube game, mm-hmm. I guess. And it was so cool. And the section where you fight as Spike, like you fight as all the different characters and go through the, you know, different levels. And the level that is in the initiative is Spike's level. So you like fight a bunch of bad guys and then you have to kill Adam.
So, as Spike?
As Spike.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. But the funny part is that like the animation, the animation that they have for the vampires that are fighting you is if they get too close to you, they start sucking your blood, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they didn't like fix the animation for the Spike levels, so they also suck Spike's blood, which I always think is funny. Because he's a vampire.
Right, it wouldn't work.
So, oh, well. It's lazy animation, but they worked really hard and it was good. So anyway, so what did you think? I mean, I'm sorry that I didn't give you... I forgot that you hadn't watched the season. For some reason, I thought you had gotten up through season.
No, I didn't have any context for it, so I was kind of lost throughout what was going on. But I found Spike to be the highlight of the whole thing. And also Willow and Buffy's makeup as they're going down on the ropes just kind of reminded me of our group of friends and how we would have done things, you know. Yeah, Spike was hilarious throughout. And I was going to ask you if this was the genesis of his good guy status, but you've already answered that. So,
well, yeah, yes and no, because of course he still is Spike. So he likes to sow discontent.
Right. No,
but you know, it forces him to be a good guy, because he likes to fight so much that mm-hmm. he would prefer to fight demons than not fight at all. There you go.
And what was this Adam guy before
they don't
became
say.
A demon? Okay. So I was under the impression that everybody knew him as someone else before it became this thing.
No, in fact, since I watched it, I also watched the episode afterwards, Restless, mm-hmm. which is where they all dream. Did you watch it by any chance?
No, I have not.
Okay. And in that, Buffy dreams about Adam, like as a person, mm-hmm. and asks him if he knows his name. And he says, no one can remember who I am. And it's like a fun, I don't know, not fun. It's a very like, that's the whole point, is that the guy was nameless, sort of, is that his humanity was taken from him. Gotcha. In order to become Adam, and how messed up that was. Mm-hmm. Also, yeah. Did you notice he had like a floppy disk drive?
No.
He had a floppy disk drive.
That's hilarious.
On his chest.
Yeah, I was noticing some of the, you know, technology.
And also like the technology.
Style, the clothing, stuff like that.
Yeah.
The workers who were the scientists that he just mm-hmm. kind of took over, they were kind of freaky. They were almost zombies in a way.
They were total zombies.
Zombies, yeah.
Yeah, I purposely sent Russell out of the room. I was like, you're going to go play games upstairs because the way that he looked was very Borg-like mm-hmm, to me. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it would remind him too much of that. And I was like, and yeah, they looked really creepy. I mean, Buffy, there's things I noticed too that as much as I love Joss and I think that his writing style is awesome, I adore Buffy and like so many things that he does. He also very much, and there's Firefly episodes like this too. He very much enjoys making you uncomfortable. He enjoys putting you in a situation where you have to face a fear either of your own or on behalf of a character, and pushes you to that limit on purpose. Right. And sometimes I'm not comfortable, but it's like, that's the point. So,
and it's not always like guts or gore or whatever. No. Sometimes it's just, you know, Kaylee in a horrible prom dress at a ball with a bunch of snooty snots who criticize her. That was an uncomfortable episode for me. So I completely understand
It's so funny to me also, because I always say this about Tara, that I'm such a big fan of Tara. But at the time I first watched this episode, I didn't like Tara yet. And so you watch it differently after.
Knowing kind of her story was kind of like, all right, she's just kind of in the background in this one. So, mm-hmm. yeah, but.
Yeah. Well, you feel different about it because she's intentionally there, her and Anya.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Spike thing is all intentionally there to pull them apart.
Right.
Story-wise. And so she was served up to us as someone who's pulling Willow away from the Scooby Gang. And so no wonder I wouldn't like her or would be wary of the situation, because that's how it was set up. And or Riley too, I guess, would be one. What do you think of Riley?
I've never been a Riley fan.
No?
No, I don't like him. He's just kind of like the rebound guy.
I understand.
He's too sweet and blah.
You need to watch this whole season, I think.
Okay. That would probably give me some context.
Yeah. There's like a couple episodes you can skip and I can tell you which ones. Because there's when you have a series, it's just like Star Trek. When you have a series like this that lasts for 7 seasons, there's going to be a couple episodes in there that are not as good.
Yeah.
And there are certainly a couple in this season. But this was not one of them. I really like this episode. I think one of my favorite things about it is it has the raid group idea, the mm-hmm. idea the reason they're able to defeat Adam is because they all have to come together. They all join together as one force in order to beat him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They all have something unique to offer to the team.
I like that. I think that's cool. Yeah. And I also love how when he's fighting her and he's going at her, once the spell kicks in, I love that scene where she jumps, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then when the spell kicks in and she comes up, it's like the bullets just disappear or there's a force field. And then that rocket bullet or whatever that's coming at her, which somebody knows what that is. Then she just like turns it into three birds. I mean, I love that. Yeah. I like what it, because it's not about necessarily fighting violence with violence. It's mm-hmm. just about creating an, you know.
My only criticism to that is that when that was happening, I thought that there should have been a different direction as far as what her makeup was like mm-hmm. during that, because she looked like all the other demons. You know,
I think the yellow eyes was very
Sith-like or whatever. So it was kind
of. Yeah, I think that, like, I agree with you. And I think that, like, a blue would have been.
Yes, something different would have been.
Yeah.
You know, something light. Like, if she was enveloped with a bunch of light or something, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, because it looked like any other demon, any other evil person that was being manipulated. So I know that's it. You know, it just didn't feel right in that scene to see her like that and make birds appear. You know what I mean?
Oh, I like the birds appearing.
Oh, I agree. That was good. But seeing her looking like that and doing that was just weird.
Felt more evil-y to you. And you're like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, they also were, and they explain this in the next episode that I forgot to tell you, is that what they're doing is not just invoking all together, but invoking the spirit of the first slayer in order to get that done. And it kind of explains that the first slayer, you know, and this goes into some other lore that, like, is explained way later, but that the first slayer almost is a bit of a demon. And so the slayer line, it's kind of this idea that in order to fight them, she had to become them. And not she as in Buffy, but she is in the Slayer as a thing. And, you know, you kind of come to the point in Buffy, I think, where Buffy's constantly fighting against that and saying, that's not true. I'm not, you know, but she is. In order to have that power, she has to be supernatural. And so, in essence, that is like the demon part of her.
You know? Yeah, I would have thought in a good versus evil show that they would have gone a different route, you know, she wouldn't be of the demons. She's fighting against them. So why would she be demon? She'd
well, but
be
that's
something
the whole
more
thing is that
powerful than them.
You forget that Joss is not a fairy tale writer. It's supposed to be complicated. You know, that's one of the things that happens, like in Angel. Did you watch any of Angel?
No.
Okay. In Angel, Cordelia inherits the ability to see visions. It's a long story, but she gets it. And they are accompanied by terrible headaches. And in order to get rid of the headaches, the powers that be basically give her demon qualities. They imbue her so that she is able to handle the visions so that she can help Angel help people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that the word, they use the word demon, but I think that it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of a misnomer in a way, because I think that they just use the word demon to explain the supernatural, to explain things that are not of this world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not necessarily using the word demon to mean a bad thing, or I don't know how to explain it, because they pretty much use it all the time to explain everybody. But then also there's this kind of thing with Joss. And this is one of the, not criticisms that I have, but it gets into some of the sixth season stuff with Willow, like, going crazy, is that he also kind of says that all magic is pretty much evil. Like, but because magic and demonism are power. It's about power. And that if you have too much power of the magic kind or of the demon kind, it will mess you up, no matter what your intentions are. Almost like the ring, I guess. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so I think that that's why they use that kind of negative quality by calling it like a demon side. I don't know.
Obviously,
it's okay.
My knowledge on Buffy is far less than yours.
I'm almost embarrassed. And you know, I don't watch episodes of Buffy hardly at all, but I remember way too much about it.
I know you wrote your thesis on Buffy too.
Oh, I
still think you should publish that on the site.
Oh, I did a paper about Buffy and the nature of the hero, mm-hmm. and how I do believe that, regardless of the fact that Joss wants kind of a postmodern hero, that I think Buffy is actually, she's basically Superman, I think. Mm-hmm. I think she's not complicated. I mean, she is, but she's not. And time and time again, it is proven that Buffy just does the right thing, even if it will hurt her or her friends, which I think is very cool.
So what
that's
does
why
that make
I think
her lawful
it's hard
good?
To say that she has that saying that demon is like a negative thing is not really something that Buffy is. I think that that's just a way of saying that she has a supernatural power. But she's definitely good, I think.
So is the ability to be a slayer inherited or is it random?
Well, the theory is, or not the theory, this is what they go into in season 7, is that there are a certain number of girls who have the potential ability to be a slayer. Like they could be called at any time. Some of them are pointed out and pulled by the Watchers Council. And some of them are just let to go because I don't know that they find all of them. It's almost like the Aes Sedai. But the difference is that they don't have the power right away. They do not get the power until another Slayer dies. So the Slayer, the whole idea is that the Slayer is one, only one Slayer. And so when Buffy gets called after the Slayer before her was killed. And so then we get complicated because when Buffy dies in season 1, at the end of season 1.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, sorry. You remember the spoiler that I put on the front of Lower Decks? That would be a good one for this. Like, don't go any further. Just, if you haven't watched Buffy or you don't want to know. But it has been out for over 10 years. Yeah. Like, finale
well,
was
well, you know, the thing about what we do is that we're kind of introducing new genres to people. So just because it's old doesn't mean that we shouldn't give spoiler alerts.
Oh, well, and also, I don't mind putting spoiler alerts, but I'm not going to not talk about it. That's the thing. I just want to be able to talk about it. So anyway, so when Buffy dies in season 1, even though she only dies for a few minutes and comes back, Kendra is called. And then Kendra comes around again, and Kendra is killed in the battle with Angel. And I think she's killed by Drusilla, actually. Anyway, so she's killed at the end of season 2, coming in when she came to help Buffy. Well, then at that point, Faith was called, and then Faith came to Sunnydale because she came to kind of help Buffy and also to avenge the death of her first washer. So that's a whole thing. And then, of course, Faith went crazy. But Faith, she never dies. So Faith was technically like the only other Slayer for a while, and she was in jail. Because she went very bad, and she accidentally killed somebody. So anyway, she went evil. And that's what happened in season 3. So anyway, but then all of season 7 is basically about Buffy sort of challenging the idea that there only has to be one. And it's all about like the potential slayers and her training the potential slayers and finding a way to get them their slayer powers without having to die.
Yeah.
And without it having to be one. That's kind of the whole thing, is that even though that I think is so cool, is that it's intentional. Joss sets up this whole thing about slayer, only one, blah, blah, blah. But then it's constantly being challenged. So like, I just watched Restless, which is the one right after this. And the first Slayer, since she was invoked by the spell they did, comes and tries to kill them all in their dreams. And it's all very, you know, it's so very Joss, very like all this music and Tara is like being the voice of the Slayer, you know, because she doesn't have a voice and she can't talk. And it's all very, you know, like very traditional, scary, kind of stuff. And then Buffy is like, nope. And there's actually a moment where, you know, she's been real scary, right? And it's basically, you know, early primitive girl. And she's trying to kill her, right? And Buffy just looks at her because she knows she's dreaming. So she's just like, are you done? And so here's something where it's like, oh, you know, here's all this power and oh my gosh, what did we do by invoking this? And, you know, Ouija board in the middle of the night with, you know, with little girls, with their friends, blah, 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 it's so scary. Something's going to happen. And Buffy's just like rolling her eyes going, I'd really consider conditioner. Like, so it's, but that's what's cool about it, is that it takes a tropes. Buffy takes tropes and things that, when you think something is going one way, and then it goes somewhere else. And it's such a little moment, and it's supposed to be meant as funny, but it's all about how she is fighting against having to be what people expect, mm-hmm. either as a slayer or as a woman. And I think that's kick ass. So anyway, kind I really like it. Oh, time. And I also, I forget how much I like Allison Hannigan, and she's so cute as Willow. Don't you think?
Yes.
What else did you think? I'm sorry.
I feel no, like that's okay. I just kept thinking, like, Dave was kind of laughing at the corded phone and things. And I was like, dude, don't laugh. These people are our age.
Yeah.
Like, we were literally their age back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, at the same time. So don't laugh.
Yeah.
Like the Doc Martens and, you know, the whole, the way every, like, Xander's hair and all that mm-hmm. stuff. I was like, don't laugh at them. That was us.
That was us. And now we're closer to Giles' age.
Yeah.
Let that sink in.
Yeah. I don't know. I think, I don't know that this was a strong episode.
And
just from, I think you have to have been invested in all of what was going on in this season to really appreciate this episode. But as you know, like Hush was super awesome. You don't mm-hmm. have to know anything about Buffy to get into it and go, oh my gosh, oh, this is creepy. But then I was watching this episode and I was like, really? This isn't that good.
Really?
I thought it was not as awesome for a Joss written story.
Well,
as far as that goes.
One of the reasons I wanted to watch it is because I feel like a lot of people think that. And I kind of wanted to defend it. I agree that it is not as well written as a singular. What was also interesting is that one of the things that you said about First Contact was that you liked it because it continued the story.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what this episode does.
Well, that's true, but you kind of have to know the story to appreciate that it's continuing. So,
to be fair, I really honestly did think you had made it through season four.
No, that's cool. I mean, I didn't even think to tell you, what is this episode about? You know, I just figured I would be able to jump into it and get it. But I didn't realize it was like one of those things it's kind of an arc. Like the end of an arc.
Oh, yes. I mean, and so I apologize too, because like, I thought you knew that like all of Buffy.
Nope.
Like, Buffy is very much about the arc.
I'm going to be like, if we do any more reviews of Buffy, I'm totally in on it because I like Buffy, but it's going to always be me being the noob.
Well, that's fine. And I
have to explain.
I apologize for that. And I did forget, like you said, you liked the Spike stuff. I forgot how well written and
Spike
well
is
acted.
Awesome.
At the very end where he's like, let's go, let's kill some bad guys.
And they're like looking at him like, what is going on with you?
I like how he's like, so did you just do that so that we wouldn't stake you right here? And he's like, did it work? And he goes, everybody gets to not get stabbed in the with a stake.
No, he was like the highlight of the whole episode. He was the highlight of the whole episode. Like, I especially like the way he was pushing on Riley. the first couple of scenes where he's like, oh, so he has a chip too.
Pushing on him.
He's like, I kind of like this. Yeah, so he's...
Yeah, that's funny.
He's chip too, huh? Okay.
Chips all around. Love it. Very, very well written.
How did they get Spike to chip him? Like, that's... I kept turning it up so I could hear everything.
Like one of those funny Buffy moments, like Joss moments where the music swells and he comes back into town.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so Buffy's like, oh, we just defeated somebody and they're going on their way and it's the end of an episode. And he just goes, Spike's back in town. I'm back and I'm bad, or says something stupid like that. And the music swells and it, like, you know, big hero shot. And then all of a sudden he gets like blasted from behind and the army guys drag him away. And there is another episode in season four that stands alone. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good, called crap. Hold on just a second. I have to tell you, cause I think it's the one right after Hush, actually. Hold on. I think it is right after Hush. Something Blue, because Oz had left a couple of episodes before that.
Mm-hmm.
And Willow was heartbroken. She hadn't. Oh, it's right before. It's right before Hush. Sorry. So it's right before Hush, and she's very upset. And so she casts a spell to get rid of her pain. And she can't. The spell she casts is like a thy will be done spell, mm-hmm. so that anything that she says will be done, I guess. And it she doesn't think it works because she wants her pain to go away from having Oz leave. Mm-hmm. But instead, she makes Giles go blind. She makes a bunch of demons unknowingly because of stuff she says randomly. She makes Giles go blind because she's like, you don't see anything. Then she says something to Xander about how he must love demons, or demons love him, or I don't know. Anyway, all the demons start chasing him. And then she makes some stupid remark about how Buffy's always hanging out with Spike because they're trying to get information from him about the initiative. And I wasn't prepared for this. She says something like, oh, you spend so much time with Spike, you might as well just marry him. And so the whole episode, Spike and Buffy are planning a wedding. And it is hilarious. I think you would enjoy the episode.
It sounds like one I would like.
As a standalone.
Yeah.
And it's very cute. And I think it's the one right before Hush. So, and it's right after Pangs, which is my Thanksgiving excitement, my favorite Thanksgiving episode with where they're fighting the Indian, some kind of Indian vengeance demon. And it's cute. It's a cute episode. So anyway, sorry.
No, that's cool.
I think we're excited about Buffy.
We should do more Buffy and more Firefly. I think we should do another Firefly next time. What do you think?
Oh, we can do another fire, our next episode.
Yeah.
Sounds fine with me.
Which one do you think? Because we've done Out of Gas. We've done
Shindig.
Shindig. And
those are two good ones.
Was that it? That's all we've done?
I think that might be all we've done. Hold on just a second. Firefly. Oh, also, don't ask me why I did this, but I was bored isn't the right word. I was just didn't feel like we need to do our Mrs. Reynolds.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Let's do our
Mrs. Reynolds. Or Janestown.
We did Janestown.
That's the other one we did.
Yeah, we did Janestown. We did Out of Gas and we did Shindig. And
okay,
we'll link
to
those.
I think our Mrs.
too.
Reynolds is good.
Yeah. Yes, we will.
That's so funny.
So yeah, I definitely think we should do more Buffy. And if anyone has suggestions on episodes to cover, let us know.
I hate to keep doing season four. I just keep thinking, there's really a lot of good episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, there's so many good episodes. It's really hard.
And we've, like we said, we did Hush and we did the Buffy sing-along. We'll also put a link to that episode in this.
Thing I was saying, this is so random, but the other day I was like in a weird mood. And so I decided to, because I watch Futurama literally every day. You know that.
I know.
And so I have most of my favorite episodes memorized, but there's also some episodes I don't watch at all because they're stupid or they make me cry. And so I decided to write a definitive.
Firefly? I mean, Futurama makes you cry?
There are three episodes of Futurama that make me cry.
Wow.
Have you ever watched Futurama?
Yes, of course.
There's, it kind of has, what's the best, what's the best show I can think of? Did you watch Parks and Recreation at all?
No.
Okay. Well, it's a comedy, obviously. It's a silly comedy. But then there are a couple of episodes where it gets you in the feels unintentionally or intentionally, actually, because they're very well-written episodes. And there's one of the ones that I can't watch is called, what's it called? It's about Fry's dog. And basically somehow they unearth the pizzeria where Fry used to work, you know, when he was in the year 2000. There's a display. They've excavated it. It's 1,000 years ago. And they put all the things on display in a museum somewhere where they've excavated it. I can't say that word.
Excavate.
Well, one of the things they found was a petrified dog. And it's Fry's dog. And he first fights with the museum to get it back. Then the professor decides that he can clone him. And then, anyway, what happens at the end of the day, you find out that Fry's dog was the only one that realized he was missing whenever he was frozen. And he led Fry's parents directly to the place where he knew, to the cryogenic thing. And he was so excited. And his parents didn't realize. And then the dog, sorry.
Are you getting emotional right now?
The dog, he figures out the dog was like a baby, like a puppy. When he gets him, he's like 1 or 2 years old. And then he finds out when the professor's like messing with the dog, that the dog is actually was died when he was 15 years old. And so Fry decides not to clone him because he thought his reasoning was he had this nice full life after he was gone. And then they do a flashback and show the dog waiting for Fry outside the pizza parlor, basically for the rest of his whole life.
This is the kind of thing that would choke me up. I'm kind of surprised that you, as a person that doesn't like animals, would get choked up.
But I'm not a heartless monster.
Well, you're not a dog person.
You have to see how the dog episode person portrays the whole thing. You have to see how...
Oh, I know. I can... Cry it's at the drop
writing.
Of a hat.
It's not the dog. It's the writing. Okay. And it's the...
No, I believe you. I'm just...
And then there's a couple of other episodes, too, that are similar to that, that I, like, can't watch. Like, I just can't watch because I don't want to... And the other day, I accidentally watched The Offspring.
Oh! That's a good one. But it always so makes good. Me cry.
But I was just
how can
like,
you accidentally watch The Offspring?
Okay.
Okay.
BBC America?
Go ahead.
I guess Jim was flipping channels.
Why is Star Trek on BBC America?
And because we have digital cable.
Okay.
And we accidentally ended up on BBC America. When I turned on the TV coming home from work, it was Star Trek was on. So I was like, yeah, it was good. And so we watched, it was another good episode that's right before that. There's a lot of good episodes in that series, in that season. Anyway, what was it? Anyway, whatever it is right before Offspring was on and it was a good episode. And I'm like, oh, this is a good one. And then Offspring came on, and I knew it was coming on, and I was thinking, I'm going to change it. But then I got preoccupied, and then I started watching it, and then I was crying. And it was just so sad. But anyway, sorry. Futurama. Back to my original story I've tried to tell 3 times. And I haven't had anything to drink. That's what's really crazy. So anyway, I decided I'm going to go through all of the Futurama episodes and mark them and rank them, you know, in order of, first of all, the ones that I watch every time, then the ones that I won't turn off if they're already on, and then the ones that I sort of don't like, but it's not that big of a deal, and then there's the ones that I hate and won't watch. And then the fifth one, which only 4 episodes qualify for, is the they're good, but I have a hard time watching them because of the subject.
Right.
And... I was very excited because I have a list and I have a top 20 list and I have them ranked.
You know, that's a really good idea.
And so I thought I might do, because I know that Sue had done a blog post several years ago about Futurama. So I was thinking about maybe doing a blog, not a blog post, but like a blog series about it, starting with like why, you know, going through the 20 maybe and then having a couple of honorable mentions.
Yeah.
And then leading up to... But I have to time it out good for like some sort of, I don't know.
We did an episode of Futurama too.
We did do an episode, didn't we?
Love's Labor's Lost in Space.
Oh, that's right. And Love's Labor's Lost in Space is in my top 19.
Oh, good.
It is. So, and there's only 2 episodes in my top 19 from the Comedy Central Caesar series. Like when it came back.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my favorite ones are from when it originally aired.
Yeah.
So, but there are a couple of really good ones in the current, like super good, but then the majority of them are not as good, I don't think. But I'm sure people will disagree with my list because it's not theirs.
Yeah, and people like Rico can't rank anything because they're like his children.
Well, I don't
mind. And how can you pick favorites?
And I have to admit that when I was doing it, the method that I used, after I pared it down to about 40, I put 20 and 20 side by side, kind of like a basketball thing. And I just said, well, which one do I like better of these two? And then I got rid of the other one. But then there was some I literally couldn't decide. So I just kept. And then I would pair it with something else. And then that was the thing, is that some of them are so evenly matched that it was hard to decide. But then if I paired it with something else, then it would be like a definite yay or nay, you know?
Yeah.
And then I just kind of went through it like that. And then after I did that exercise, I thought it was right when we decided to do this episode. And I thought I should do that for Buffy.
You should.
So I was thinking maybe I'll do it I'll start doing it for like all of the shows that like this Buffy, Star Trek, Futurama, and then any show where I've seen every episode, and especially every episode that I ones that I, where I've seen it several times.
I need to do that.
Unfortunately,
too.
That might be some non, but I think that's okay.
Yeah,
you could do Voyager.
Yes, I could. You know, so, I think it's okay. We should go over those blog posts in our episodes too. I think we could do that.
Well,
right? And because not everybody's a blog person and not everyone's a podcast person. So,
well,
we should do that.
This you can cut out because it's housekeeping for you and me, but I think it might be good to do. One thing I like that Crack does is when they do, they're mainly a blog. They mainly do articles, but when they do a podcast as well. Like a comedy commentary podcast or a couple of them, they will still do, like, they'll be like, you know, top five reasons, something, 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 you know, Harry Potter's stupid or whatever they're going to talk about. There's not that, but you know what I mean? And the article, there'll be the podcast, and it'll have a brief synopsis. And then right under it will be an article, the article where the person basically talks about everything they did, like the same exact subject matter. But it's just not as in-depth. It's a lot more in-depth than our show notes, though. Yeah. They really go into exactly what they talked about. They just don't do as much. And then at the end, it says, if you want to hear everything we said, but the blogs post, like the show notes, it would be like if the show notes really stood on their own and made almost every point we made, like the meat of it, instead of just teasers. But I don't necessarily think we have to do it that way. But maybe there's a couple of them that we can do that way. Yeah. I don't.
No, there's definitely some posts we've already written that are like that.
Mm-hmm. So or we can take a blog post and like create it into an episode.
Yes.
Maybe before.
Yeah.
So
that's a good idea.
Anyway, sorry, we can cut that.
No, that's cool.
All right. Well, I probably need to get to bed. It's my bedtime.
Me too.
On a school night here.
I'm like a mombi. Did you see that meme I posted?
Yes, I did.
I am excited about Firefly next time.
Our Mrs. Reynolds.
Yeah.
I hope
everyone liked this one. I'm sorry I didn't have a lot to contribute, but I think you did really well in filling the people in.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope there's someone else out there as excited about Buffy as me. I know there is.
Oh, gosh. We have hordes of people who are. They'll love you for this episode.
Well, I'm glad to give Buffy some love around here.
Yeah.
I'm glad that there's only what there is of Buffy. Mm-hmm. There doesn't necessarily need to be more, but I'm glad that we have what we have. Good 7 seasons. Not too long, not too short.
Magic seven.
I agree.
Please subscribe to our website. You'll get updates every time someone posts a blog or we post an episode. Mm-hmm. It'll go right to your inbox and you'll know immediately. And you can contact us through our website at anomalypodcast.com. And you can also email us at girlygeeks@girlygeeks.com. You can also call us at 432-363-4742 and leave a short, like, 3-minute message about whatever you want. Also on the show notes for every single episode, you can comment below there, share it with your friends, spread the word about Anomaly. That helps us out a lot. So please consider that if you really like us and you don't want to, you know, help out monetarily, sharing the episode would be super awesome. If you do want to help out monetarily, in every show note that we have for all of our episodes has a donate button at the top. So if you're looking for a way to do that, that's the way. And so thank you for listening. You can also follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook and join our Facebook group. That's where all the cool cats hang out.
For sure.
And we're like 2 of them. And cover everything? Yeah.
Yes, we did.
We have Instagram now. We're on Instagram.
Well, that's right.
And we have like 7 followers. So like make us a little more popular.
I need to go follow you.
I know, right?
I need to follow
us. It's so sad. I have to be inspired. So inspire me, people. Oh, and follow us on Pinterest. Like Angela and I are mega Pinterest people.
Oh yeah,
we love Pinterest
all up in this bitch.
And we have a Pinterest board for Anomaly, but we both each have our own Pinterest boards, and we pin on each. You know, we have shared boards and all that stuff. And you can find our Pinterest accounts by going to our bio page, and in our little profiles, there's a little Pinterest link. So if you're a Pinterest person, look us up.
All right.
All right. So I'm Jen.
And I'm Angela, and you've been listening to the Anomaly Podcast, where female and fandom converge.
We like stars. All the stars in the sky. Especially the stars you give us on iTunes. To us, you are the biggest star in the cosmos. Go to iTunes and give us a rating. Thanks.
Gamma Quadrant Golf Clap.